We pick up in Exodus 33. Moses has shook his head at some people that he had raised up and taken them toward the promised land. He went up to the mountain of God 40 days, 40 nights, and he stayed gone too long. Come back down off the mountain, Joshua, his preacher boy, was with him. Moses said, "I hear something in the camp." My goodness, they had done melted down their gold, made them a molten calf. They was there bowing before it and dancing and partying. Moses throwed down the tables of the law. The Bible said Moses' anger waxed hot. I'm glad I've come up around some men of God that could get hot about sin. The most Baptist preacher today, nothing stirs him up enough to get hot about. Moses was angered. He throwed them tablets down. God said something. He said, "Moses, they are stiff-necked people." Pick them up in Exodus 33, and the Lord said to Moses, "Depart and go up hence, thou and the people thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, to the land that I swear unto Abraham." I want to say something. God keeps His Word. And every devil in the country will tell you that God don't keep His Word, but honey, God keeps His Word. He said, "I'll send an angel before you," in verse 2. "I'll drive out the Canaanites and the Liberalites." Somebody saying, I put that in there. Amen. I'm glad Brother Trump's got them liberals stirred up. Marching around looking crazy in the street, breaking out picture windows. He ought to call the National Guard in. He said to a land flowing with milk and honey, "I'll not go up in the midst of thee, for watch this, thou art a stiff-necked people." You may be seated this morning. Now, I don't know if you have read this lately, but God just said something to Moses that got his attention. He said, "I'm not going with you." I don't know about you today, but I need God to go with me. And we've ever lived in a day and hour when we need God on the situation. We need Him in this day and this hour. Young people, you need God in your schoolhouse. Mom and daddies, we need God where we live. And where we go to church, we need God in our church house. He said something to Moses, got his attention. He said, "For the Lord had said in verse 5, say to the children, you're stiff-necked people. I'll come up in the midst of thee in a moment and consume you." Can I say today, God can snap His fingers and end it all. And it's by the mercies and the grace of God that we're not all consumed this morning. Then He said, "Now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee." The children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Hor. That's what we need to do. We need to strip off some things that we carry around in pride and deceit this morning and realize these things weigh us down and we got to come honest and empty before the God of heaven. In other words, they said, "Lord, we need You." It seems that people don't even have God on their mind in this day and this hour. But there's some that's looking for God. So Moses took the tabernacle in verse 7 and he pitched it. And without the camp or far from the camp, and he called to the tabernacle of the congregation. It came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. It came to pass when Moses went out the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and look what they done and looked after Moses till he was gone in the tabernacle. They said, our preacher is fixing to go in there and talk to God. I want to say something. This group of people, even though they were stiff-necked people, they thought a lot of their preacher. You need a preacher in your life. I need a preacher in my life. So it came to pass in verse 9, Moses entered in the tabernacle. The cloudy pillar descended, stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Ain't you glad you've come up around some preachers that God would talk to? And the Lord, verse 11, spake unto Moses, face to face, as a man speaketh to his friend. He turned again to camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Moses said to the Lord, see thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. Thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, this is Moses speaking, if, look what he says, circle that, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Has it ever been a time in your life that you wondered, was God interested in you or not? Has there ever been a time in your life when you doubted the grace of God upon your life? I remind you that Moses here was filled with doubts and discouragement and disappointments. People had let him down. Now I want to remind everybody today, people will let you down. Now Moses had experienced God at the burning bush in a way he had never seen a bush burn before. The bush caught a fire, but it wouldn't burn up. Moses had seen a lot of bushes burn with fire, but he'd never seen a bush set on fire that wouldn't burn up. May God give us a burning bush at Liberty Baptist Church that won't burn out and call names out of that burning bush. He said, Moses, ain't you glad? Hallelujah. There's still a few places you can gather around that God will talk to you out of a burning bush. Moses had experienced God at the bush. Moses had experienced God at the Red Sea. Pharaoh was behind him. There's probably some of that crowd. When Moses said, we're going across, they said, well, we've not voted on that yet. Honey, I bet you Moses turned around and said, there ain't no time to vote. It's time to march. Hallelujah. Get across because Pharaoh's behind you and he's going to get everything you got. God parted the Red Sea. The Bible said they walked across dry land with a high hand. Matter of fact, when God does something for us, I've noticed it's in Bible order to raise our hand and say, thank you, dear God, for how good that you've been to me. God, you parted many waters. God, you protected me. God, you took me in the promised land. I want to say, hallelujah. I'm glad we got a God, we raise a hand to this morning. Moses had experienced God at the bush. God had parted the Red Sea and Moses experienced God with his enemies. The children of Israel were hungry. God brought water out of rock. God rained quail out of heaven. God let manna fall as the dew of the ground. Now here's a man wondering, if I've found grace in your sight. God, I'm wondering. The people you've given me to pastor, they've gone crazy. They're serving idols. I've taught them better. But God, them ain't my people. They're your people. Yeah. And you called to me out of the burning bush to lead them one day. And Lord, I'm just wondering, have I found grace in your sight? Wonder, have you ever been in a place that you wondered what God was doing? Well, have you ever been in a place that you wondered why God was allowing what God was allowing? So Moses finds himself in a doubting place, in a discouraged place. Then he says this. He said, if I found grace in your sight, in verse 13, show me now thy way. Underline that. Thy way. That I may know thee. That I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. And I want to say, the nation of Israel started being God's people, and they'll be finished being God's people. God's going to see about the nation of Israel. And anybody that is a friend to Israel is a friend of God. He said, look in verse 14, this had to shook him to his shoes. God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I'll give thee rest. He said unto him, well, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Verse 17. The Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also thou hast spoken of, for thou hast found grace in my sight. Watch this, I know thee by name. Isn't it wonderful that God don't know you as a number, but He knows you by name? Then He says this. He said in verse number 18, He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And He said, God said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee, and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I'll show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And He said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see my face and live. And the Lord said, ain't you glad you've got a God not only you can talk to, but that will talk back to you? And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock. It shall come to pass that while my glory passes by, that I'll put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I'll take away my hand, thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Father, we love You today. God, You've taught me a big lesson this week about preaching. I want to thank You. I asked You to help me, and You did. I asked You to teach me, and You did. Now, God, the light You've given me, I want to walk in it this morning. Now, I want to be one of Your preachers. Now, I pray You'd help me and touch me. And use me to be a blessing. Forgive me of my pride. Forgive me of my flesh. God, forgive me of my mistakes. And help me. And I'll be careful to honor You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I will preach this morning out of verse 21 where the Bible said, "Behold, there is a place by Me." God said, "There is a place by Me." Aren't you glad God's got a place? And I can tell you this, when you get in it, it'll be a close place. Because, honey, when it's by Him, it will be a close place. It will be a comforting place. There's nothing like having a place with the Lord. Now watch your Bible. At this place, in verse 13, you'll always find God's grace. He said, "Now therefore I pray Thee, if I found grace in Thy sight." Aren't you thankful for the grace of God? God's riches at Christ's expense is an easy terminology to always remember about grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. The reason we have the grace of God is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Honey, the law couldn't get us to heaven. The law showed us how wicked we were. It's filled with do's and don'ts and thou shalt not. And all of that's still right and perfect today. But there's an issue with that. None of us can keep that law. Because we're all sinners. Born from Adam's race. And God, seeing that the law could not get man to heaven, therefore He sent His Son to die on an old rugged cross. And I sure am glad this morning, Brother Mike, I'm not saved by law through faith. But I'm saved by grace through faith this morning. It's what God has done for me and you through His darling Son on Calvary's cross. I'm going to tell you there is a place by Him. And there you'll find God's grace. Grace brings us, first of all, into relationship. Now, we are all God's children, collectively. God has made every man, woman, boy, and girl. Every life is given from God. That's why we should stand against abortion, honey. God don't make mistakes. There are no mistakes. God is the life giver. But positionally, every people's not the children of God. Only those that are born from above that He becomes their Father. And let me tell you, there's a gospel being preached, a social gospel, that everybody's God's children. And I want to say this and clarify what I'm saying. God made everybody, but everybody ain't going to heaven. Because there's one way to go to heaven, that's by the blood of His darling Son. Now, God's grace brings relationship. In Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 24, Paul is writing and he says this, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. That word means to satisfy through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. There's no other way to God except by His Son. He said, there's a place by me. Can I say the title again? There is a place by me. It's what God said. Are you in that place today? I want to say that this will be a place where you'll find God's grace. I'm glad there's a place by God through grace this morning. It brings relationship. Number two, it brings fellowship. I'm glad I'm in fellowship with the Father today. Some of you are in relationship, but you don't have any fellowship. It's a big difference. Some of you have been saved by God's grace, but you way far away from Him this morning. God wants you close by. A father always likes to talk to his children. Psalms 84, verse 11, not only does it have to do with relationship, but it has to do with fellowship. The psalmist David wrote this, Psalms 84 and 11, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee." There's a place by Him, by God's grace. There's relationship, there's fellowship. But in Exodus 33, back to the text, verse number 11, there's a friendship. "The Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend." Aren't you glad that God is a friend? I've had a lot of friends in this life. And I've noticed this about friends. It takes a lot on my part to remain friendly. The Bible says a man that has friends must show himself friendly. If you're going to have to hire somebody to tote you to the graveyard, you're telling on yourself. You ought to show yourself more friendly. Somebody say amen. Thank God for friends. But there is one that sticketh closer than a brother this morning. And He is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a place by me, is what God said. There's a place there by God's grace. But not only do you find God's grace, you'll find in verse 13, God's guidance. Now I want to say something here and move on. Now Moses said, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee." I'm glad we have God's guidance in decisions of life. You'll notice this, the older you get, the more that you see that you really need God's guidance in your decisions of life. In Psalms 48 and verse number 14, Psalms 48 and verse number 14, the psalmist David here wrote again and he said this simple phrase, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." You may be here today and you need God's guidance in decision. Can I tell you, when you don't know what to do, don't do nothing. Wait till the Word of God speaks to your heart and gives you guidance. And I can tell you this, the guidance that you may think you're getting, if it takes you away from the house of God and the Word of God and the people of God, you've got the wrong guidance. For God's guidance will always lead us by His Word. Always. I was talking to a pastor this morning. And I said, it's something that we need to realize in preaching. When God gives us a thought, and it seems like we don't see anything happening in our churches, God's doing things we can't see. God's talking in a way that we cannot hear. Now I tell you one reason you need to be here on the Lord's Day is for God's guidance in your decisions. What does the Word of God tell? How much better off would I be today if I had to put God in my decision making? It's cost me a lot, and I've learned the hard way, and I'm tired of learning the hard way. God's guidance. He has guidance in the decision. He has guidance in directions. Did you notice what Moses said? He said, "Would you show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people?" God's guidance in decisions. God's guidance in directions. Sometimes you won't know what way to go, and you need God to show you. Now I want to say, God knows where He's going. Listen to it. When it even don't make sense, if it lines up with this Bible, you say, "Well, Brother Ken, does the Bible always make sense?" Not in my life it don't always make sense, but it don't make that it's wrong. It's always right. Love your enemy. Man, I come from the country. Pray for those that despitefully use you. That goes against my flesh. God's guidance in decisions. I want to say this. I seen something studying this morning. We'll share it. We need God's guidance because of distractions. And this right here is going to speak to somebody this morning because the Holy Ghost has got this thing raising up in my heart. I wasn't even going to use it, but I'm fixing to turn to it if it takes me till 2:30 to find it. I want you to look in Matthew 7, verse 13. Talk about God's guidance now. And I want to give you this thought I got from reading after an old man this morning. Matthew 7, verse 13. "Preach it on a place by me," is what God said. It's a place of God's grace. It's a place of God's guidance. He guides in decisions. He guides in directions. But He guides in distractions. Matthew 7:13. Look what Jesus said. "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And watch, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight's the gate, and narrow's the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." This is what I want to say about God's guidance and distraction. Listen, if you're walking in a straight and a narrow way, and you're walking through that process of life, you won't be near as distracted by people because they ain't going to be going the direction you're going. And if you'll walk in that straight and narrow way, God will lead you and protect you from distractions. How many times have I been walking in that broad highway, thought I was going someplace, and all around me was total chaos? But I've noticed when I'm walking in a straight and a narrow way, I'm surrounded myself with good people. Some of y'all get that tomorrow. I need God's guidance in distraction. The devil loves to get you distracted. He loves to get you discouraged. But he loves to get you distracted. Going after things that really don't matter. Hey, all this is going to burn up one day. What kind of treasures are you laying above? So there's a place by me, is what God said. I don't know about y'all, but I sure do want to stay in that place. And you see, this place by Him, you'll find it's a place of God's grace. It's a place of God's guidance. But thirdly, verse 18, back to that text of Exodus 33, and you'll notice this, it's a place of God's glory. Moses, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Moses has been walking with God now for several years, and he's wanting to get really close to God. He said, God, I've been doubting some things now. I want you to show me thy glory. A place by Him. Well, look what God says. He said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. Matter of fact, you just look around you today and you want to see God's goodness on your life. It don't take you long to look down the road, friend. God's been good for you. You say, Brother Ken, you don't understand what they diagnosed me with. Honey, let me tell you, look on down just a little bit further than your house. You'll find somebody in a whole lot worse shape than what you are. God's goodness. I sure am glad that one of God's great attributes is His goodness. He's a good God. He's a dependable God. And I don't care what the devil's telling you today. He's a God that'll be good to you if you'll walk with Him. Psalmist David said something. I learned in Sunday school years ago as a little child. I try to teach all my grandchildren this. The great shepherd psalm. He said, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, and He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's glory, He shines His goodness. God's glory, not only does He shine His goodness, but you'll notice that God will always show His greatness. He said this, I will be gracious and I'll show mercy on whom I will show mercy. You know something? What me and you need to get ironed down and figure out is this. God's been good to us individually. God has seen about us. God's blessed us. God has proved Himself. And not only is God good, God is great. He said, I'll show mercy on who I want to. I wouldn't be trying to figure out why so-and-so is here in life. I'd just be throwing my hands up saying, Dear God, not only are You good, You're great, and I thank You for what You've done to me. Now, lastly, where I want to get to preaching, I won't preach much longer. I want to close with this. I want to show you something this morning. God said, there's a place by me. I want Brother Daniel to be getting ready for us an invitation this morning. And he said, when you find out there's a place by me, there'll be God's grace. There'll be God's guidance. There'll be God's glory. Now, look what he says. He said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. The Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand on a rock. And it shall come to pass that while my glory passes by, that I'll put thee in a cleft of the rock. And I'll cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now, this is my thought.
Not only do we find God's grace, God's guidance, God's glory, but lastly, we find God's Golgotha. You say, why do you say that, preacher? He said, Moses, you want to say something about my glory? He said, it's a place by me, but he said, you can't take it. He said, when I pass by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. Can I tell you, I see Golgotha there, because God sent His Son on Golgotha's hill. And there when the Lord hung His head and died and cried, it's finished. There was a Roman prisoner came by and thrust a spear in his side, and therefore came out blood and water. Can I tell you, the side of God was open to mankind. And God said, if you're going to find a place by me, you're going to have to be put in the cleft of the rock. I want to say something. It's by God's grace and His mercies that we're not consumed. And I sure am glad at this place of Golgotha that the Lord had a cleft in the rock. Can I tell you that rock is Christ? There is none other solid rock except the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And here, this place by God, there will always be a place of Golgotha close by. See, we're placed at Calvary. Look what it says in verse 22. Did you notice how the Holy Ghost pinned it down in the King James Bible? It came to pass, while my glory passed by, that I will put thee in a cleft. I'm glad God has placed me in Christ. And I'm glad He's placed Christ in me. We're placed at Calvary. Did you notice what else He done in this verse? We're protected by Calvary. Verse 22, He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to cover you with my hand while I pass by. Thank God He's got us covered by Calvary. He said, I'm going to put you in and I'm going to cover you with my hand. Can I remind you what the Bible says? Does my heart good. I read it this morning and I'm glad that it's still in my Bible. Because if I could have worked my way in, it would mean that I could have worked my way out. But honey, I couldn't work my way in the family of God. I was born from above by the Spirit of God, by the grace of God. And I'm glad that which God does, He does forever. He said in John number 10, He said in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. I'll give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Golgotha's got me placed. Golgotha's got me protected. And look what He done. It'll do us good. I want everybody to hear what I've been saying. I'm done. God said, I'll cover you with my hand while I pass by. And I'll take away my hand. Thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Preacher, what is it? We're placed at Golgotha. We're protected by Golgotha. But I want to say that we are positioned at Golgotha. He said, you shall see my hinder parts. Why did He say that? He said, Ken, you want to go somewhere? He said, if you'll see my hinder parts, that means I'm going ahead of you. And I wrote something down that we all need to hear. Only when our flesh... Now listen to me. Moses said, I want to see your glory. God said, I'm going to cover you with my hand. Brother Jason, only when our flesh is hidden can His glory be revealed. Only when our flesh is hidden, then can only His glory be revealed. I want to say something. A lot of times we get prideful. Well, there's some of you this morning, you've been very successful in life. God has allowed you to raise families. God's given you jobs, given you health. And if you're not careful, you'll get to thinking you're doing something. Yeah. Preacher, get up and get to preaching. He'll feel the touch of the Holy Ghost on him. God will go to blessing his church, his family, his life. If he's not careful, his head will go to swelling. Yeah. He'll forget where his bread was buttered. God will not share His glory with nobody. Church, God will start blessing. I got to thinking a while ago, wonder, Brother Rodney, what we'll get to add on to next. God's blessed us. God's helped us. But we don't need to see nobody's glory but God's glory. May God teach us to hide our flesh that His glory and His goodness and His greatness may be revealed. God said, I'll get my glory on Pharaoh. I've noticed this, that we can't do, God will do it. He'll get the glory out of it. This morning, there's a place by Him. You may be here lost and you've never trusted His Son. He'll put you in that cleft of the rock this morning. It's a wonderful place. I'm glad I'm saved. My sins are gone. He's got me covered with His hand. Would y'all, being that love me so, would you do me a favor? Brother David, you always an honest feller, you and Brother Mac. So many of you, Brother Kevin, you're just so honest, and I appreciate a man that has friends, he don't need to hear what he wants to hear. He needs to hear what he needs to hear. If I ever go to getting too big for my britches, would you remind me, Brother Ken? It's God to be the glory. I can't raise a family, but God can. I can't do good at the job, but God can. And Lord, to You, may my flesh be hid so others can see Your glory. God said, you can see my hinder parts. Keep your eyes on me and I'll take you where you can't go. I'll take you through places you can't get through by yourself. But there, you got to get in that place. And I want to be in that place this morning. You come as our brothers say, whatever you need. You need God.